This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is where the fun begins.
Chewie, we're home.
Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Welcome to the Blue Mill Cafe. Grab an empty stool at the counter, order a cup of Jawa juice and a nice slice of Yogan fruit pie, and get ready, because we're about to talk all things Star Wars.
Good morning, my sister, and welcome back into the cafe. This is episode 116. I am your host, Jeff, and on this weekend's episode, I'll be talking about the Obi-Wan Kenobi finale that just happened this past week. But before I do that, in honor of Hayden Christensen's return to Star Wars in the Kenobi series, I want to go over my favorite Anakin moments throughout the saga. And I'm going to start with The Phantom Menace, my favorite of the prequels. And I know people didn't care for Jake Lloyd's acting. I never had a problem with it. I know they had a problem with George using a 12-year-old kid to start telling the story of Anakin. But I've always defended that by saying it was necessary to see him that young, to see him that innocent, to make his turn into Darth Vader even more tragic. So, I never had a problem with that, and I really enjoy the scene where we first meet Anakin in Watto's workshop. We get to find out that Anakin is a slave, along with his mother, Shmi. Now, it seems to me that Watto treated them decently, even let Anakin leave work early at the end of that scene there. So, I think he was treated differently, but showing us that he was a slave makes, you know, more sympathy towards Anakin because, you know, slavery is wrong. So, we find out he's a slave. I really enjoyed that interaction between him and Padme, talking back and forth. I know the "Are you an angel" line gets to some people, but I never had a problem with it. Hey, I was a shy kid. I was a shy person most of my entire life so far. I don't go up to people I don't know and just start talking to them. I don't do that. That is not me. I don't know how people do it. I really don't. So, him just, you know, starting to talk to her, I was like, I already like this kid because look how brave he is just talking to that person that he doesn't even know. So, I guess that's why I like that scene so much. I don't know. I just found the interaction, the dialogue very intriguing to me. So, and we were learning a little bit about his character. You know, he's a dreamer. He wants to, you know, be a fighter pilot, blah, blah, this and that. Really loved that interaction. And next moment I am going to go over is from Attack of the Clones, when him and Obi-Wan are riding up the elevator there at the beginning of the movie, well, towards the beginning of the movie, and they're reminiscing about a, you know, prior mission, laughing about it. It shows how much their relationship has grown between episodes 1 and 2 and the years that we didn't see, which I hope someday we do see. But, you know, who knows. But I really enjoyed that. I enjoy when he's first reunited with Padme and the little, you know, talking down to, or the little dressing down of by Obi-Wan to Anakin when he defies his orders and Obi-Wan puts him in his place in front of Padme. That whole interaction there is a little uncomfortable to watch, but I've always enjoyed that scene. I also, from Attack of the Clones, really enjoyed the whole moment of him fighting the Geonosians in the droid factory. Going through the droid factory there on the conveyor belt. Love that entire scene. Of course, I love when they get captured and they're out in the arena. The line between him and Obi-Wan, "Well, we came to rescue, Master." Oh, good job. You know, so I really enjoyed that. I love the humor, that the Star Wars humor. I really do. I know some people have a problem with that too, but go back to 77 and rewatch it if you haven't in a while, because there's humor in that movie. But yeah, it's quirky and silly humor, but I like that. So really enjoy that moment. And of course, to Revenge of the Sith, I really enjoyed the moment when he's first reunited with Padme, when he gets back from his mission at the beginning of the movie and she reveals to him that she's pregnant, and his reaction there, because to me it's sort of like a delayed reaction. I believe he is genuinely happy, but it also looks like that also bothers him in a way. Maybe because we haven't seen any of them yet, but we already know he's been having nightmares about Padme. So I don't know if that's another reason his joy's a little restrained. I'm not sure. But if it has been explained, if there is a reason why his joy was restrained there at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, let me know. I really would like to know why. I don't. But, and of course, the lightsaber battle between him and Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith at the end obviously is one of my favorite Anakin moments, because, I mean, it's emotional, and I'm going to edit myself before I get some people getting on me, because I really truly believe when Anakin becomes Darth Vader is the moment in Revenge of the Sith where he's kneeling in front of Palpatine in his office and Palpatine is knighting him as Darth Vader. That moment right there, that exact moment, is when he is Darth Vader, not when he gets in the suit. So he is Darth Vader at that moment. So this is an Anakin / Vader moment for me, is the duel on Mustafar. And it gets me every time at the end when Obi-Wan, after he says, "I have the high ground," and he cuts him down. And he's giving that little speech there on the banks of Mustafar. I lose it every time. It's just so emotional and sad and tragic. Really love that moment. Now, I know I'm jumping all around here. These aren't in any kind of order, so. And when he's towards the beginning of Revenge of the Sith, when he's talking to Padme on the balcony about their future and stuff like that, I really enjoyed that sweet moment. That was a sweet moment. The moment that he gets knighted as Darth Vader, that is an awesome moment as well. You could see the pain on his face. I don't think he really wants to do this, but he is conflicted. He is trapped because he believes that Palpatine is the only one that can save Padme, and even that was a lie. He lied to Anakin about that to trap him, to manipulate him, and it's sad, it's tragic. The story about Darth Plagueis the Wise in Revenge of the Sith, I really enjoyed that moment where they're in the balcony in the opera box there, or whatever you want to call it, and Palpatine's telling him that story. I really love that moment. So many good Anakin moments. There are some from the Kenobi series. The little training montage there at the throughout episode, I think it was 5. Really enjoyed that. But just so many moments that right now I can't think of them all. And I am really jonesing to talk about the finale. So why don't we just jump into the finale here. Excuse me. And talk about the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Really, really loved episode 6. Excuse me. The whole episode was an awesome finale, just perfect finale to me. I know I've seen some criticisms about the finale. I've seen, well, what about Reba? Her story just kind of, you just kind of left it there. I had no problem with it. The way they, you know, decided to wrap up her story, had no problem with it. Why? It leaves it open for maybe a series down the line with her and letting us know what happened after that moment. Or it leaves the door open for a season 2, which there are articles been flying around the internet ever since Wednesday, letting us know that Ewan and Hayden both want a season 2. So it might happen. It might happen. Fingers crossed. It might happen. But yeah, her story just kind of left there in the desert. And some people also said, well, I can't believe Obi-Wan just like forgave her and all is good. Well, if you listen to her story, I think she became an Inquisitor just to get revenge on Anakin / Darth Vader. That's the whole point of her mission, was she was after Darth Vader this whole time, not Obi-Wan. She was using Obi-Wan to pull Darth Vader out so she could kill him. And I believe her reign as an Inquisitor was all a ruse and undercover. So I don't know. It may sound stupid, but that's what I feel, you know, her real true motivations were. So I had no problem with the way, you know, they decided to wrap her story right there for now. But the whole episode, I was just on the edge of my seat. I really enjoyed the battle there, even though it was very dark. Could barely see some of the scenes when Vader and Obi-Wan were battling. But excuse me. The helmet getting sliced open, that whole scene there, I really enjoyed that. And it just irritates me that that gives some fanboys reason to complain. Oh, they're just ripping off the Ahsoka Vader battle in Rebels. No, they are not. Oh my gosh. This was so much cooler. This was live action, for one. And two, who cares if it was a little homage to the Ahsoka Vader battle in Rebels? I really don't care. But I don't know. I'm just complaining again. This is me complaining. But anyway, really enjoyed that scene. And right when Vader said this to Obi-Wan, I was like that gif of Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood pointing at the TV screen. That was me. Right when Vader gave this line. You didn't kill Anakin. I did. I started pointing at the screen because I had food in my mouth at the time when my wife and I were watching it. And I said, there you go. There is justification for me for defending all these years thing, Obi-Wan never lied to Luke. He never lied to Luke. He told Luke, Vader betrayed and murdered your father. He was just repeating what Vader told him. You didn't kill Anakin, I did. Is it still from a certain point of view? Yes, but like I said, Obi-Wan was just repeating what he was told by Vader. That Obi-Wan didn't kill Anakin, he did. Is Anakin still alive? Yes, obviously. But the person that was Anakin is not alive anymore. I don't know. It just... that just kind of like... It drives me crazy when I hear people say, oh, well, Obi-Wan lied to Luke. And I know some of the time, most times they are jokingly saying it and stuff like that. But... you know what, it really irritated me because I was like, no, he didn't lie to him. There are like tons of, you go back in storytelling, and I'm pretty sure there are other moments where one character is, you know, a certain way, and then something happens to them and they change, and years later you meet them and they're this different, and they're like, well, That person's dead, blah, blah, blah. That is a certain point of view. Yes, I know. I'll stop talking now. And people can let me know how wrong I am on my opinion about that later. But that's my opinion about Obi-Wan never lied to Luke. He was just repeating what he was told from Darth Vader himself. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the mixture of Hayden's voice and James Earl Jones' voice when the mask was split. That was really cool. I really enjoyed the little cameo of Ian McDiarmid as Palpatine. They're in the little hologram in Vader's throne room with their little talk. And right there, Vader was still obsessed with Obi-Wan. He wanted to go back after him. He wanted to get as many Inquisitors as he could to track him down and find him. And Palpatine was like, you know, your thoughts are not clear. You know, this is, you know, even if he is still alive, why, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and right there, right away, just like a snap of the fingers, Vader was like, you know, I will not do that. You know, whatever the line was, I only watched the episode once so far, so I forget what he said after that, but he basically said, just like with a snap of the fingers, that, you know, oh, all that's in the past, I'm not going to worry about it. So, and brings me to the last thing I want to talk about, the finale, and it's Qui-Gon, one of my favorite Jedis, returning. I got a little misty-eyed when I saw him, because I did not expect to see a Force ghost. I was only expecting to hear Liam Neeson's voice. But seeing him as a Force ghost, I almost lost it. I was just so excited. I got goosebumps. And I had to rewind that scene a little, you know, a couple times to get the dialogue, because I was just so excited. But yeah, that whole scene. Yes, I would like a season 2, please. I want to see, like most people, to satisfy most people, I would like to see the continuation of Reva. Is she going to continue to go after Vader, you know, on her own? I want to see a little bit of the Force ghost or Force training with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. I want to see that. That line that Qui-Gon had to him, you weren't ready to see. So I wonder if one of the keys to becoming you know, visible, to becoming a visible entity as a Force ghost, is you have the person that's seeing you has to be ready to accept whatever it is. You know, I don't know, but he just said you weren't ready to see. So, but seeing Qui-Gon as a ghost really was awesome. And yeah, I just, well, I, yes, I am really crossing my fingers for a season two. Will we get a season two? Who knows? I'm hoping Ewan and Hayden both want season two, so maybe, who knows? Now, I know just because they want season two, it's not going to automatically happen. But, you know, I think Ewan, being the executive producer, has maybe a little bit more pull than Hayden. So hopefully, with their combined efforts, hopefully they can talk Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy into a second season. And with the numbers that this series got on Disney Plus, I don't think it would be a bad idea to do a season two. So hopefully we get a season two. And there you have it. There is episode 116 for this week, all about the Kenobi finale. I know, as usual, you know, I did... look, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to start this over again. I've started this over so many times. I'm worn out. Sorry, lost my train of thought there. I was going to say, and as always, you can follow the Blue Mill Cafe on Twitter at @thatBMCpod. You can email me at thatBMCpod@gmail. You can follow the Facebook group on Facebook. You can go over to the Red 5 Network and check out all the other awesome shows on the Red 5 Network that are better than this one. Just go check them out. They're awesome over there. More than just Star Wars, pop culture, geeky stuff, all throughout the Red 5 Network there. And as always, until next time.
I have spoken.
Give the evacuation code signal.
Thank you for stopping by the cafe. Life is all about passions. Thank you for lending me your ear while I share all of mine. You can follow the Blue Mill Cafe on Twitter at @thatBMCpod. You can follow the Facebook group, the BMC Pod. You can also email the Blue Mill Cafe, thatBMCpod@gmail.com. And remember, blue milk, it does a body good.
Anyway.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content,
make sure you head over to Red5Network.com.
You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more.
All wings report in.
It's the Red 5 Network.